Well, good morning to you.
Amen.
I thought I'd go back and try to finish up a lesson that we started on a couple of weeks ago. And then I didn't see the news last night. Most of the time I don't get to see the news. I don't have time. But anyhow, somebody told me this morning that Russia invaded Syria. So anyhow, I believe the time's at hand. Amen. So, you know, as we feel for those people at the same time, it brings a little excitement, doesn't it? And that's a little bit as to what we were going to talk about. Anyhow, if you will, you can turn to your Bibles in the book of Romans in chapter 5. And while you're doing that, I'm going to read two verses to you out of the book of Titus 1 and 2 before we go to Romans. Titus chapter 1 in verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to his faith, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Amen. Kind of want to keep that in mind as we go back to Romans chapter 5. I want to review a little bit and try to remember most of what we taught last time. We didn't get very far through that. It's kind of hard to... I'm used to preaching from a pulpit like this here, not up there. So when I get down here, I want to preach rather than teach, and that's not what we're supposed to be doing here in Sunday school. But that's kind of a conflict that I have, so I'm working on that. So pray for me. And what we talked about last time, that three questions that are frequently asked today. And those three questions, the first one was... How bad is it going to get? Or what is wrong with the world today? How bad is it going to get? And how long is God going to let things continue? Well, I'm not sure about the last question, but the first question we answered that, and what's wrong with the world today? We decided that was sin. You know, we're living in a dark, dark, dark world today. And that reflects in everything that we see everywhere, you know, everything that goes on today. And then the second question that we asked ourselves was, how bad is it going to get? And that's referring to us as Christians before the Lord comes. Well, we don't know for sure exactly how bad it's going to get. But I do know that I don't really have to be concerned about that. And we're going to look at that a little bit today also. I talked about how much it bothered me because I was up in North Carolina in Walkertown and had the chance to visit some friends and relatives and whatnot. And I believe I spoke to you about that. And talked about how it bothered me greatly because you could ask people today if they would die if they'd go to heaven, and they couldn't give you an answer. And the answer they did give you, it wouldn't be correct. And I'm talking about so-called Christians. So that's what brought this particular scripture and passage to me, and to try to shed some light on us as Christians. You know, we don't need to have that doubt in our lives. You know, and the devil does that. He wants you to be unsure. He don't want you to have the sureness of your salvation. If he can stop you from being sure of your salvation, then he can stop you from witnessing to other people. Right. And we have to remember that everything we do every day, it's a spiritual battle. Every day of our lives, when we get up and start a new day, it's a spiritual battle today. And so that's kind of what we was looking at a little bit. And we found the answer to what's wrong in the world today being sin. And I believe we went to Romans 3:10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the sin nature of man right there. That's what's wrong with the world today. And we talked about men walking in spiritual darkness, not knowing the truth. And sadly, the gospel today is not being taught. It's not being preached, even in churches today. And how can you preach the gospel and not preach against sin? You know, I mean, I don't understand that. Christ, what the gospel is about, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And if he died for us, what did he die for? He died for our sins. So how do we preach the gospel and not preach against sin? Amen. But that's what's happening in our churches today. We have children and teenagers today and young adults that have been in church all of their life, and they still don't know how to be saved. That's sad. Now that doesn't, you know, that's not going to happen here. I mean, we teach the gospel, we teach against sin, but it does happen in the world every day. And right now, I'm not just speaking to you folks, but we're speaking to people across the radio. And there's a lot of people out there that doesn't understand. And going to church, it's kind of like, you can go to church every day. You can go to church every Sunday night, every Wednesday, every time you have any type of a prayer meetings or Bible conferences or whatever. And that doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. It's kind of like sleeping in your garage. You sleep in your garage, and it doesn't make you a car. Amen?
Amen.
But this is what's happening. And I know these are simple things. But the reality of it is that as simple as they may be, they've become complicated to the lost people.
Right.
They don't see and understand the simplicity of the gospel.
Right.
And that's up to us to get out. And when we see today, when you turn the news on and you see where Russia's invaded Syria, I don't know about you, but I believe the Bible.
Amen.
And I believe we're living in the last days. So just like Brother Lawson over here trying to get up a soul winning group. Folks, there's an urgency. I mean, think about something. I mean, I'm ready for the rapture. If it comes before I get through here this morning, praise God, I'm ready.
Amen.
And it thrills my soul to think that the Lord's going to come. And I'm going to get to see him in the clouds. You know, that's exciting to me.
Amen.
You know, I want to weep over it. I mean, to think that God saved us. But then, at the same time, we look at our church. And come Saturday, two people show up in a parking lot. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how many showed up. There might have been 50. I don't know. I'm just saying, this is what happens. And we're in a church that loves God. We're in a church that serves. And I know some of you serve 7 days a week. And I know and love you for it and thank you for it and praise God for you. And you're going to be blessed greatly. But we have to remember, if we believe what we teach, if we believe that we're in the last days. If we truly believe that, thank God that you're saved. And if that trumpet sounds today, we're going to be in the arms of our Lord.
Amen.
But what about your neighbor? Have you thought about that? What about your neighbor? Is your neighbor going to be in the clouds with you and the Lord? See, that's the Great Commission in Matthew. You and I, it's up to us to spread the gospel. I'm excited about the Lord coming, but at the same time, it saddens my heart to think that anybody's going to be left behind. The Bible tells me that there's going to be a great delusion that's going to fall upon man, that he'll believe a lie. Now, if that's the truth, those that are left behind are sentenced to hell, aren't they? That's a sad, sad thing. So when we're looking at a goal to get 100 people out here in the parking lot out here on Saturday mornings, that shouldn't be hard for us. It really shouldn't. I mean, we have people in this church, and I know that that's dedicated their lives to the service of God. And I thank you, each and every one of you. There's so many of you who put time and prayer into me, and I thank you for that. All the professors, God bless them, Dr. Carter, he's put so much effort into us that I just feel like we need to give some of that back, you know? And it touches my heart. It really does. It breaks my heart to think that somebody that we know and love is going to be sentenced to hell because we didn't pick up and do what we were supposed to do. And folks, when I go out and I'm talking to somebody who's supposed to be a Christian and they don't understand how to go to heaven, there's a problem.
Amen.
You know, there's a problem in our churches. And I know everything sounds so simple to us. When you're in a great church like this under a man like Dr. Carter, who teaches and teaches and preaches salvation over and over and over, you know, we get a lot. We get it here. And then we take for granted what God has given to us. We get a hold to it, and we want to hang on to it for ourselves. Kind of reminds me of Jonah sometimes. Remember Jonah? When you read the story of Jonah, a man of God, and yet he'd sit up on the hillside and weep, not wanting to give the gospel to Nineveh. And that's kind of the way I feel sometimes. I feel like we're so blessed, and we want God's grace, but we don't want to return that grace. We want all that grace for ourselves. We don't want to share it with our lost neighbors. And that's not the way we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be giving the gospel out at every opportunity that we get. And I'm probably going to get off track here again. I have a hard time staying focused on where I'm supposed to be, but that's okay. we'll get through it the best way we can. Amen. Pray the Lord. Prayerfully, preacher, will be back tonight. Things will get back to normal around here. We'll see what happens. Y'all keep praying for him. Anyhow, we talked about that a little bit. We got into John 8:12. It says, then Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in John 12:46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Right here is the answer. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the answer to the first question is not very complicated. It's Jesus. We talked about that last time. It's Jesus. So when you go out and you're knocking on a door, or you're talking to a friend and you ask them how they're going to heaven, it should be Jesus. Born again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these people, for some reason, aren't getting the gospel. For whatever the reason may be, they're not getting that gospel. So when we're asking those questions, they can't answer them. And then we went on. I think we got to about Romans 5:1 is where we were supposed to be starting. I think that's where we ended up at. And so if you open your Bibles, look at chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, not of the law. I think we talked a little bit of it last time about how Abraham was saved the same way you and I are saved. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So if we go back to chapter 3, and you look at verse 28, we say, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In other words, folks, it's not our works.
Amen.
You know, so when somebody asks you, hey, are you going to heaven? Well, I think so. I've been good. Folks, it's not about works.
Amen.
It's not about me. It's not about how good I am or how good you are. It's about our Lord Jesus. It's about the blood that was shed on Calvary.
Amen.
That's my righteousness is only what he gives me.
Right.
You know? And that's something we need to keep in mind. And it says right here, therefore being justified by faith, not of works, but of faith, we have peace. You understand that we have peace? There's no peace with God unless you've been justified under the blood. See, when we lost, I think we talked about a little bit last time, about in the garden, how Adam fell. Adam sinned. And we lost the fellowship with God in the garden. And we looked at how Adam was created in the likeness of God, and how we were created what? In the likeness of Adam. A sinful man. We have that sin nature. So when we become born again, we get justified, that brings peace back to us. That brings peace between us and God. That brings us back to our Maker. It's pretty simple. It's not really complicated. And it says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not works. It's all about Jesus. It's not about our baptism. It's not about joining a church. It's not about any of these things. It's not about how good I am or how much I tithe. All these are good things. And we need to be baptized, but baptism doesn't get us saved.
Amen.
We're baptized because we're saved. Amen?
Right.
You know, preacher's been preaching on baptism here for several weeks. But what is baptism? It's a representation of what? Of what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
The death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
It's the gospel. You know, when we get baptized, we're showing the world on the outside what God's already done on the inside. Amen?
Amen.
It's what he's done for us.
Yes, sir.
So we see right here in the first verse that justification brings us back with the Lord Jesus in peace through faith, not by works. Then we move over to Romans 5:8. It says, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And look at the first part of that verse. But God commendeth. This is present tense. This is not past tense. This is present tense. See, that's the wonderful thing about the cross. Jesus only had to be crucified one time. That love is just as good for me today as it was for somebody 2,000 years ago. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's right now. It's present tense. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we was in our sin, Christ died for us, the ungodly. We're ungodly until we're justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. But God gave his life. You know, it's hard to imagine. You know, I think about that sometimes. And I don't know about you, but think about Jesus on the cross. Think about when the Roman soldiers were driving the spikes into his hands. It breaks my heart to think that Jesus loved that man. Have you ever thought about that? He loved the man that was driving the nails in his hands just as much as he does you and I. He was giving his life for the very one that was trying, that was taking it from him. Now, folks, that's a blessing. That's a godsend. That's the love of our God. You understand that if Jesus had had one bad thought, if he'd have thought ill of that man, he'd have dropped dead right there. But see, that's the love of our God. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. You and I are just as bad and just as guilty as that Roman soldier. Right. And that's something else we need to think about, folks. When we talk about sinners, we're talking about you and I.
Amen.
You and I. You know, it's easy for us to point fingers and look down on somebody else. But the Bible tells me that if I've broken one commandment, if I've broken the least of the commandments, I've broken them all.
Amen.
So I'm just as guilty, just as sin-ridden as anybody.
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether it's a drunkard or a whoremonger. It doesn't matter who it is. I am just as guilty as they are.
Amen.
The Bible teaches us that.
Right.
But that's the love of God. Anybody can be saved, and it's so simple. And then in verse 9, it says, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's the answer to our second question. Folks, I don't have to worry about how bad it's going to get. I know one thing, that God's judgment is not for me. God's judgment is for the ungodly, not for his saved saints. Folks, however bad it gets here, it's going to be man's judgment. And that hasn't changed. We talked about that last time. That hasn't changed for 2,000 years. They have been crucifying, they have been persecuting Christians since the day Jesus has started the church. And that's not going to change. They're going to continue to persecute. But that's man's judgment. But when we talk about the upcoming, when we talk about the rapture, and we worry about tribulations, and you hear so many Christians talking about and worrying about how long they're going to be here during the tribulation period, I don't know about you folks, but I'm not going to be here during the tribulation period. My Bible teaches me that God's judgment is not for me. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm justified through the blood.
Amen.
I'm not going to spend 1 second in tribulation. And I want you to understand something else. We talk about, I hear it all the time, we talk about how bad the wrath of Satan is going to be. And it's going to be bad, but it's not Satan's wrath. It's God's wrath. It's God's judgment. Satan is only allowed whatever God gives him.
Right.
You know, and we need to keep that in mind. It's God's judgment.
Amen.
It's God's judgment, not Satan's. We need to get a hold of that and keep that in mind. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death. What it's saying here is that if we were reconciled to God by his death, how much more do you think it is by his life?
Amen.
Jesus is unlimited. The glory of God. Amen. I mean, it's God's grace is just unforetold. We can't put a limit on God's grace. It's just on and on and on and on. I like it right here in Romans 4:3. It says, for what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him. Folks, we got to believe God.
Amen.
And if you believe God, this is something, if you believe God and you believe that God can save you, how can you not believe he can keep you?
Amen.
We have so many people that think that they can lose their salvation. Who's going to rip you out of the hands of our God? The Bible says his hand spans the universe. Oh, we got a big God. Folks, we can't lose our salvation.
Amen.
That's the devil trying to discourage you, trying to mess you up,
right,
trying to get you from being out here serving the Lord Jesus. Folks, if he can plant that seed of doubt in your mind, That's all it takes. It only takes a little bit of doubt to stop you from doing that in which you would do. See, when you believe what you're trying to teach, when you believe it, then it becomes real to you. I've seen so many young folks today, they're just taught things that just don't make sense. I don't know about you, but I got a powerful God. I got a strong God.
Amen.
I believe everything that I read in this Bible right here.
Amen.
If you're going to take one part of it out and not believe it, then what good is the rest of it?
Right.
You know, what was the first verse we read? I said to keep that in mind when we read Timothy. God that cannot lie. Well, how can a holy God lie? If he lied, he wouldn't be God, would he?
Amen.
So when God promised to keep his word and he promised to keep his scriptures here for you and I, do we believe that God can't keep that promise? Well, sure he can. He's our God. And if he can't keep his scriptures pure, how can we trust him with our souls?
Amen.
Well, we need to put some thought into these things.
Right.
We need to think about them. We move on to, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We should be full of joy. Once you've been saved, the burdens of sin have been lifted from you, you should have a joy in your heart like no other. And yet sometimes we walk around, Christians are so sad. I see so much bickering and arguing and fighting sometimes between Christians. Folks, we ought to be the happiest people on earth. Think about it. If the trumpets sound right now, praise God, I'd love to hear it blow. But if it blew right now, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all the things of this old world are going to be worthless to us.
Right.
But we put so much and so much emphasis on the things of this world and not on the things of the Lord Jesus. Folks, we need to remember every day of our life who it is that we serve and what is our purpose. Our purpose, when we're born again, our purpose is to serve God. And we should remember that. And we need to keep that joy. I remember when I first got saved. I don't know about you, but I was happy. I knew that I was no longer on my way to hell.
Amen.
When the preacher preached on hell that day and God touched my heart, folks, I was scared. I didn't want to go to hell.
Amen.
I wanted to be saved. And I walked down that aisle, 12 years old, walked down that aisle, got on my knees, on my face before God, and accepted Christ. I was the happiest kid in the world.
Right.
I still have that same joy today. I'll never forget walking down that aisle. I'll never forget that. I forget a lot of things. My old mind's not too good, especially in the mornings. We get off that bus, I don't know, about 200 degrees, I guess. Felt like it this morning. You cooked. Somebody said you looked pale. Well, yeah. The life was draining out of me. But we survive it, amen?
Amen?
But we should still have that joy of the Lord in our hearts. We need to hang on to that. We need to keep that. And we need to pass that on, folks. I talked about that last time when we spoke about this. Every morning when we come in here, we should have smiles on our faces. We should be happy. We shouldn't come in here and be dreading coming to church to listen to the preacher. That's the highlight of my week, I'll be honest with you. I need to be preached to. I need to be reminded. And when a preacher preaches on sin, I love it.
Amen.
I need to be reminded of what I truly am. I am a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
And that's what we all are. And we need to be reminded of that. See, when we forget that, we start getting self-righteous, buddy,
right.
Quick.
Right.
Boy, we can get so self-righteous so fast.
Amen.
So we need to be reminded constantly of what we truly are. I think I said this last time that Brother Sam Gipp, said we were walking, talking dirt balls. Amen?
Yes,
boy, we don't have a whole lot to be proud of, do we?
No, sir.
I mean, but in reality, that's what we are.
Right.
And everything that we have, everything that we are, is what God gives us and what God makes us. But we need to grab a hold of that. We need to remember that on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights. When you go out into the workplace, you need to have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Folks, we're living in the last days. Preachers up here preaching, everybody's amen and praise God, amen, hallelujah, hollering and shouting and screaming. We're all getting excited about the trumpet sound. And we walk out of here and get in the car and go home and turn the TV on. Wait a minute. Is it real to you? I mean, seriously, is it real to you? See, if it's real to you, give it to somebody else. Because if you understand that you were saved, then you know that the world's lost. And Jesus is that light. Folks, we got to get the gospel to these people that's on their way to hell. And for those in Radio Land, you know, I pray that they'll get in here and read these scriptures. I can stand up here and talk for 2 weeks, and I just don't know if you can ever get, you know, enough scripture into somebody that they understand all, you know, that what's actually happening. It's hard for me to understand sometimes how God can save somebody like me. But, you know, it's a faith. I heard a man say this the other night, that being saved is nothing more than a decision. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Being saved, my Bible tells me, you believe with what? With the heart. So you believe with the heart. God convicts. You understand. You come to the point that you understand that you're a sinner. God convicts the heart. Then with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Then with the mouth, confession is made. See, my Bible teaches me that I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need to be saved. And when we talk about being saved, what are we saved from? From the depths of hell. We need to be saved from hell. And in order for me to go to hell, I'm going to hell because I'm a sinner. We need to understand those things. Make them simple. It's not just a decision that you make. It is in the heart. You have to believe in your heart. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You and I today are saved the same way as Abraham was saved. Amen. We believe God. We believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus died. We believe that Jesus was resurrected. And we believe that Jesus is alive today on the right hand of God, on the throne of heaven where he belongs. When we believe that in our heart, and we confess that with our mouths, then we are saved. Saved from the pits of hell. And it's just that simple. It's not complicated. Amen. People make it, man makes it complicated. Right. And I can take you all the way back to the scriptures, take you back to Matthew, and you'll find out it's sad, but it was a priest. You know, now think about that. If the priest in Matthew was trying to hide the gospel truth from the people, do you think it's any different today? Oh, wolves in sheep's clothing. There's people in pulpits all across this nation that are doing nothing but sinning and allowing people to go to hell because they won't stand up here and teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
They won't preach against sin. If a man can come in here and hear preaching every day and never come under conviction because he doesn't know he's a sinner, and we don't want to tell them that they're sinners because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not here to be popular. I mean, it's nice to grow. You want to grow, but I think we ought to let the Holy Spirit do the growing.
Amen.
You know, you present the gospel for what it is, for what God gave it to us for. You present the gospel. People become saved and become servants unto the Lord because of the Holy Spirit, not because of us enticing them to come in, making them feel good, and getting them to put some money in an offering plate.
Right.
See, my God is still God.
Amen.
My God is the same God that was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My God is the same God that Moses. My God is the same God of Noah. And by the way, folks, when we go back and you look at the story of Noah, and Noah and his family, God called him into the ark. The scriptures does say that he called him into the ark. Right. If he called him into the ark, where was God? He was already in there, wasn't he? He called him in. And today, Jesus is our ark. He is our Savior. The ark in the Old Testament was their Savior, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Kept him out of... And what happened when Jesus called him into the ark? Destruction followed, didn't it? How about Sodom and Gomorrah? As soon as he called Lot out, destruction followed, didn't it? It's going to be the same way when he calls out his saints. When God calls out his saints, judgment's going to follow. And why do I bring that up? Folks, we're in the last days. We need to get the gospel out. And if you're sitting in here, don't sit here and play church. Because too many people do that. They come in and they play church. Well, I went to church. That's good. But it doesn't make you a Christian. You understand what I'm saying? We don't want anybody to be sitting in here and hear the gospel and go to hell because they didn't give their life to Christ. It just doesn't make sense, folks. That's what we're here for. Everything that we do right here at Landmark Baptist Church is to fulfill the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything we do is to save souls. It doesn't matter whether it's the Sunday school classes, the buses, the radio station, curriculum. Every part of our ministry is to save souls. Every dime that comes in this building is to save souls. And we need to remember that, and we need to be a part of that. Each and every one of us, every member in this building here needs to have a part in that in some way. Regardless, it doesn't matter. I understand that all of us can't go out and dig ditches. But we, you know, Brother Larson said he needs somebody to stuff some envelopes. You know what I'm saying? Somebody to hand out tracts. There's simple things that everybody can do something. I don't know about you, but I believe the book. I believe what I read. And I do believe that we're living in the last days. And when I heard about Russia invading Syria, I was a little bit excited. You know? And I pray that the preacher makes it back tonight. We'll probably hear a little something about that. You know? He's pretty good at prophecy. But, folks, it's real. And if it's real to you, let's exercise our faith on lost folks. I mean, you know, when we read the Bible and you read about tears in heaven, have you ever asked yourself why there's going to be tears in heaven? Because God says he's going to wipe away all your tears, right? Have you ever thought about that? Well, let me just give you a little something. Can you imagine yourself on Judgment Day watching one of your loved ones or one of your neighbors sentenced to hell? And can you imagine them looking at you and asking you why you didn't tell me about Jesus? You ever thought about that? That breaks my heart. Because I can look back in some days past where I didn't share the gospel. And I've got friends that's died and gone wherever they've gone that I know I didn't share the gospel with. Yeah, there's going to be tears in heaven. But I don't want them to be because I didn't share the gospel with somebody. Folks, it's important. It's just that important. And every one of us is going to stand up there and stand accountable for that. It's going to be a sad thing when you got to sit there and watch your brother, sister, aunt, cousin, niece, nephew sentenced to hell because you didn't share the gospel with them. That's going to be a horrible thing, isn't it? Amen. But we're out of time, folks.